This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT-Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT-Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin. I'm a registered dietitian. I'm in private practice here in Manhattan. I also work with Dr. Ronald Hoffman, as you know. And we do these weekly podcasts, both my own podcast, which you're listening to now, Layla Weighs In, and Q&A with Layla that I do weekly with Dr. Hoffman. Thank you for your questions, and you can email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I've got a great email from Demina. Demina is a 79-year-old woman with no health issues except numbness in her feet, not attributable to neuropathies. That's good news, Demina. Hi, Layla. Love your podcasts. I've heard you say vitamin B12 level should ideally be above 900. Yes, I did. In order to get there, I've been taking 1,000 micrograms of B12 for years. How do you reconcile this 1,000 microgram with the study published in a recent article in JAMA, in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and it's called Association of High Intakes of Vitamins B6 and B12 from Food and Supplements with Risk of Hip Fracture Among Postmenopausal Women in the Nurses' Health Study. You know about the Nurses' Health Study, right? They've been following these nurses. All of these women are nurses, and they started this, I believe, back in the 80s. Following them to see how they fare, how they do, the chronic diseases that arise or any other for that matter, the morbidity, the mortality, all of that. And this was published in JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association, and it's JAMA Network Open 2019. You can find it yourself. So Demina is asking me, how do you reconcile this 1,000 microgram B12 that I take for years with this particular study that says I may be increasing my risk of fracture? This study published in May 2019 shows that postmenopausal women who had the highest daily intakes of vitamins B6 and B12 were more likely than women with the lowest intakes of these two vitamins to have hip fractures. Researchers who followed 75,864 women in the U.S. for an average of 21 years determined that the risk of hip fractures was 47% higher than normal among those who took 35 milligrams of vitamin B6 or 20 micrograms or more of B12 daily. The risk also was high among women who took large daily amounts of either vitamin. And half the fractures occurred in women under the age of 76. Thank you, Domino, for this very thoughtful question. I've got the article in front of me. And this is in JAMA. It's an original investigation. And the importance of this is that vitamin supplementation, far exceeding recommended doses, is popular in segments of the population. However, the researchers say that adverse effects can occur. In a previous secondary analysis of combined data from two double-blind randomized clinical trials, an unexpected increased risk of hip fracture was found among those treated with high doses of vitamin B6 in combination of B12. So, what was the objective of this study? To study if high intakes of vitamins B6 and B12 from food and supplements were associated with the risk of hip fracture in the Nurses' Health study, and to investigate whether combined high intakes of both vitamins conferred a particularly increased risk. So the design, the setting, the participants, this is a prospective cohort study. So they followed this cohort of 75,864 postmenopausal women in the United States, were followed up from June 1984 through May 2014. So, 30 years. The dates of analysis were July 2016 to June 2018. Information on hip fracture and a wide range of potential confounders was collected at baseline with a biennial follow-up questionnaires. Extensive dietary information was collected approximately every 4 years with a food frequency questionnaire. Now, you've heard me talk about food frequency questionnaires, FFQs. These are notorious for underreporting, overreporting, or bias reporting, and it's all based on recall, which in and of itself as a methodology is a confounder. So the main outcome and measure was hip fracture. And what did they find? During follow-up, 2,304 of the 75,864 women had a hip fracture. Among the women with hip fractures, the median age range at hip fracture was about almost 76 years old, 75.8 years old. The range was 46 years old to 93 years old. So there you have it, the median at 75.8. And then the mean body mass index was 24.3. So median cumulative average intakes of total B vitamin 6 and B12, they go into, were 3.6 milligrams, right? And 11.7 micrograms of B12. And both vitamin B6 for an intake of greater than 35 versus less than 2 milligrams. And on vitamin B12 for an intake of greater than 30 micrograms versus less than 5 were associated with increased fracture risk. So those women who took more of vitamins B6 and B12 compared to a very minimal amount were associated with increased fracture risk. And risk was highest in women with a combined high intake of both vitamins B6 and B12, exhibiting an almost 50% increased risk of hip fracture, wow, compared with women with a low intake of both vitamins B6 and B12. So the point that these researchers are making is that in this cohort study, a combined high intake of vitamins B6 and B12 was associated with an increased risk of hip fracture. So we know that vitamin supplementation is widely popular. Hey, I'm in the business of nutrition, so I'm a part of that. And in the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, that's the NHANES survey, approximately 50% of U.S. adults reported taking at least one dietary supplement. And the prevalence of use increased by age was highest among individuals of non-Hispanic white race ethnicity and among those with the highest education. And among U.S. nurses, which is what this study is about, 28% reported using at least four dietary supplements. Now, we know that both insufficient and excess intakes of a nutrient may be harmful. And that's especially true for vitamin B6. So, based on the concept that high homocysteine concentrations could cause disease, the researchers here say that several large randomized control trials have been performed. However, they failed to demonstrate a preventive effect of B vitamin supplementation on cardiovascular diseases and cancer, and possible adverse effects have been reported. Although high homocysteine levels also may negatively influence bone quality by disturbing collagen cross-linkage and stimulating bone resorption, high doses of vitamin B12 and folic acid supplementation have not shown fracture-preventing effect in randomized control trials. Okay, I beg to differ with how they are describing the conclusion in those randomized control trials. If I remember correctly, and I know that Dr. Hoffman and I have weighed in on this as well, those particular randomized control trials used subjects who already had chronic disease, number one. Number two, they did not take enough of the B vitamins in order to reduce homocysteine enough to make a difference. A high homocysteine in mainstream medicine is something like a 15 or a 20, above a 15. Here, in integrative and functional medicine, we consider a high homocysteine anything higher than 9. We want to see everybody's homocysteine level less than 9, less than 8, even less than that. And I know that Dr. Dale Bredesen, which I talked about extensively in his Alzheimer's research, he wants to see homocysteines down to a 6 or a 5. That's great if you can get it there. So we aim to study, the researchers say, of high intakes of vitamins B6 and B12 from food and supplements were associated with a high risk of hip fracture in the nurse's health study, and to investigate whether combined high intakes of both these vitamins were associated with a particularly increased risk. Now, you have to be careful because this is association, not causation. Let me make another association for you to give you an example of what I mean. Organic food intake has increased, since the 1980s and 1990s, wouldn't you say? There is a linear increase of organic produce intake in the American population. Yes? Yes, we see this. There's also an increase of heart disease and cancer. Would you say that this is associated to an increase of organic food intake, of organic food consumption? I don't think so. And here is my point. Association does not mean causation. It's very, very hard to prove causation. And that is my point. And the researchers do say, in the small print in their results, for total vitamin B12 intakes at least 30 micrograms were associated with a non-significant increased risk of hip fracture compared with intakes of less than 5 micrograms. So what is it you're really saying? If it was not significant, what are you actually observing? And what are you concluding? And here's another confounder. In one of the tables here in this study, the associations between vitamin B6 and vitamin B12 and hip fracture were stronger in women with less BMI, less than 25, compared with the overall analyses. Whereas there were no clear associations in women with BMI of at least 25. Now, did you know a lower BMI, if you are normal weight or underweight, and that means a BMI of less than 24.9, let's just say less than 25, to quote these researchers, it's a risk factor for fracture. So how do they know in the women whose body mass index, BMI, was less than 25, whether it was their BMI that was the cause of fracture and not their B supplement usage? There's no way to detangle that. You know, a total weight of less than 127 pounds is a risk for hip fracture. Now, we don't necessarily want you at 127 pounds if your height is 4 feet 11, right? We'd want you more around the 100 pound range. So we need it to be appropriate weight for height. But if you were 5'10 at 127 pounds, listen up, you supermodels, that could be an increased risk factor for hip fracture. So the lower the weight, the higher the risk for hip fracture. There's no way to detangle that here. What's also interesting is what I'm seeing here on the tables, age-adjusted characteristics of these women and their intake. In this particular table, they show the percentage of osteoporosis. Those who took the lowest amount of B6, their percentage of osteoporosis was 21.5%, compared to those with the greatest B6 intake, meaning greater than 35 milligrams a day. Their percentage of osteoporosis, percentage of who had osteoporosis, was 27.2. So those who had the highest B6 intake also happened to have the highest rates of osteoporosis. So it could be that their hip fracture was due to the osteoporosis, not because they took greater than 35 milligrams of B6. Are you getting me here? And another thing I'm teasing out in the table for B12, I just told you about B6, right? Now, for vitamin B12, those who took less than 5 micrograms a day, those people, 21.6% of them had osteoporosis, versus those who took greater than 30 micrograms of B12 a day. That group, the percentage of those in that group, 26% had osteoporosis. So how do you know that it wasn't the osteoporosis that set them up for hip fracture, not the B12 level? It's very, very hard to tease this out. And there's a lot of statistics here and a lot of models for statistics in things that were not reported or that some of the nurses may have failed to follow up reporting. They used certain models that they had in place to kind of pay forward the expected intake. And again, food frequency questionnaires are notorious for underreporting, bias reporting, and for recall. It's what you recall. And here's what the authors themselves say. The possible mechanisms. A possible biological explanation for the findings in the present study is not clear. This is what the authors themselves say about this study. The magnitude of intakes of vitamins B6 and B12 associated with an increased risk of hip fracture in our study far exceeded the RDA, okay? Now, possible adverse effects of high-dose B6 supplementation have previously been suggested. High doses greater than 500 milligrams a day of B6 might increase the risk of falling because neurological symptoms, including ataxia, neuropathy, decreased muscle tone, have all been reported. And milder neurological symptoms have been observed at doses of approximately 100 milligrams a day of B6 as adverse effects. Preliminary work suggested that high vitamin B6 concentration might accelerate bone loss by counteracting the modulating influence of estrogens on steroid receptors. This is interesting, and I agree, this merits some further study. And because a recent paradox theory, this is a theory, proposes that large doses of pyridoxine, which is the inactive form of vitamin B6, included in supplements found in foods, inhibits the active form of pyridoxal phosphate. By the way, we recommend pyridoxal phosphate as opposed to just pyridoxine. The authors also say we do not have an explanation for the mechanism by which vitamin B12 may contribute to increased fracture. And a high intake of vitamin B12 and a low intake of vitamin B6 were not associated with increased risk. So, Demina, going to your intake of vitamin B12, along with those with a low intake of vitamins B6, were not associated with an increased risk, which is in agreement with a meta-analysis of randomized control trials giving vitamin B12 and or folic acid alone without vitamin B6. So a possible explanation for the interaction between total B6 intake and BMI is not clear. And just as I said before, and this is now what the authors concur, at low BMI, they say, fracture risk was higher, and a larger number of incident hip fractures thus occurred. They go on to say, our study has strengths and limitations. We were able to follow a large cohort of women with repeated detailed assessments of diet, supplement use, and other possible confounding factors. However, we cannot exclude the possibility that individuals started taking supplements due to ill health. In addition, all information on vitamin intake and confounders was collected by questionnaires with their inherent limitations. An additional limitation is that the findings may be applicable only to women of white race or ethnicity. The results for supplemental B6, the authors say, are puzzling because all categories above the reference category have similar increases in risk. Also, intakes of different supplements are correlated, making it challenging to disentangle specific associations. So there you have it. And to go and quote a Dr. Thomas Schwenk, who was a doctor who reviewed this particular study in JAMA Network Open, and this was in 2019, May 3rd. His comment is, we don't have a known mechanism by which B6 or B12 would cause fractures. So inferring a causal association would be purely speculative. So there, I took a deep dive into it. I hope to your satisfaction, Domina, and thank you for that very thoughtful email. And I encourage any of you who listen to this podcast, if you have questions, topics of interest, anything like that, that you want to hear me talk more about, email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. So I want to thank you all again for joining me on this edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.